You are listening to WRBH Reading Radio for the Blind. This is the Public Affairs Show. I'm former Chief Meteorologist Carla Redondo. I am visually impaired. I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I walk with a white cane. On today's episode of the Public Affairs Show, I have someone that you may have heard many times on our show. She is the host of Dinner Party, Amy Sims. Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me today. I'm excited to be in the studio on the other side of the table and the microphone.
I know. We're turning the tables on you. I've been trying to highlight a lot of our awesome volunteers and get them so the listeners can hear about them and not just and hear more about and get to know Amy today. So, and plus, I love food, so this is great because I love to eat. I love to eat, but that's another story altogether.
Well, you know, I like to say, even if you don't have something in common or you don't think you have something in common, everyone eats. And that is the one thing that can bring us all together is food.
Absolutely. And I do cook a lot. I don't cook fancy, but I cook a lot. I love to be in the kitchen as well. So before we begin, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, your history, where you're from, where you went to school and all that kind of stuff. Whatever you want to share about who Amy is.
Sure. I'm Amy Sins. I am here in New Orleans now, but I actually grew up in Ascension Parish. I was born in New Orleans, well, in Metairie. Some people will say that counts. Others say it doesn't. And grew up in Ascension Parish, got the best of both worlds. My grandparents were in Lakeview, spent every weekend with them, but grew up in the country. I was actually, this is a fun fact, one of the first girl on my mom's side of the family that didn't go to Mount Carmel. It was quite scandalous. I went to St. Joseph's in Baton Rouge, and my mom really wanted me to carry on the tradition and go to Mount Carmel and move in with my mama. And I said, Mom, you moved out of mama's house for a reason? You think I want to move in there in high school? So we stuck to the weekends visiting and came to New Orleans and went to Loyola University, where I met my husband and have been here ever since. New Orleans has my heart.
Absolutely. I moved here 32, 33 years ago, and this is home now. I mean, I'm from Texas originally. I thought I'd be heading back to Texas at some point, but you just fall in love with everything about New Orleans.
It is. You know, there are days that I say we find the dysfunction charming. Right. It takes a special person to put up with it. But the city, it calls to you. And if it's in your blood or your soul, you can't leave it. And it will follow you and drag you back.
And people do leave and do come back.
Yes.
I've known many people that have moved away, but
there's nowhere like it.
Right.
Nothing compares.
Exactly. Now, before we go on, give people your contact information, how they can reach you, see you on social media, if they have questions or anything, your contact information.
Sure. You can follow me on social media at Chef Amy Sins. And you can also visit my business pages, Langwa NOLA and KPI Group NOLA. So both of those, if you want to really see what is happening in my crazy life, I highly recommend Instagram or Facebook. It follows all the stuff that happens and what I'm doing. And you may go, oh my God, Amy, you're all over the place. You're doing way too many crazy things.
Well, I saw your website, and I won't get to a lot of those things that you do because you are all over the place. First, I guess the question I have is, how did cooking become your passion? Because you always ask somebody, well, how did you become this? What got you interested?
You know, growing up in South Louisiana, food is our life. It's what brings us together. And every special occasion, every memory, everything that happened that was important to me in life, it was around food. My dad was an avid hunter here in South Louisiana. And so I would grow up in the kitchen with him while he was cooking. I would stand on the chair, stir the pot. When he wasn't looking, I would add something and see if he would catch it. And it kind of turned into a way that I relaxed and I unwound. And food was not my career until after Katrina. Before that, I was in business. I was in sales. And the main reason was because I didn't want to be locked in the kitchen where I couldn't visit and talk to people. So I never thought to pursue being a chef. And after Katrina, I started to make the change. I started doing the show here and at WRBH. And I said, food needs to be in my life. It's been my calling. So I had to come up with a way where I could still visit with people, but still cook food.
Did you approach WRBH, or how did that happen, relationship?
I was really lucky. After Katrina, I had written a cookbook, and it was an attempt to preserve all the family recipes that flooded. And in the process of doing that, I met Mary and Greg Saunier, and their restaurant had been one of my favorite special occasion restaurants. And Mary did a show here at WRBH, and she needed someone to substitute for a little while. And so I came in and did the show for a few months, and she said, would you like to keep doing the show? And I said, yeah. And I want to say, it's been probably 13, 14. Years, give or take.
Wow,
and we've evolved the show over the years, and I'd say probably every 4 years, kind of change it up a little.
And if you're not familiar with the show, it airs on our radio station WRBH on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock, Thursdays at 5:30 in the morning, and Saturdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it is on often, and every time. I know Amy has a great show, and talking about food and the culture of food, because I'm not big into watching cooking shows. I like stories and history, and that's why I mentioned just to you earlier that the Stanley Tucci show on CNN during COVID was amazing, because it was about the history of foods and different regions and how they're different and, you know, prepare things. That's what I find fascinating. I'm never going to go cook, you know, the food, so I don't want to see how it's done. So
part of what I really like to do with the show, which is dinner party on WRBH. But, you know, after COVID, when people were really starting to get back out into the world again, I thought to myself, what do I miss the most? And I missed going to dinner parties. And I missed sitting next to that really interesting person that I had never met before, and then realized that our common theme was food and could have a conversation with them throughout the whole dinner party. And so I reached out to WRBH and I said, can we change New Orleans by mouth to dinner party and try and find these really interesting people that you just want to sit and hang out with? And it really, it's been almost a little bit selfish for me, because I've gotten to really enjoy talking to people and making new friends over the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned COVID. You mentioned the storm. Talk about Katrina and what happened after that, how you got into disaster relief and helping to feed people.
Yeah. So my house was on the levee break of the 17th Street Canal. So if anyone out there was watching the news and saw the CNN team and that helicopter dropping the teeny tiny sandbags in the giant hole, that was my backyard. And when we were able to go back to our house, it was pretty overwhelming. And I'll never forget, there was actually a New York fireman, and I was standing in my driveway, and he was volunteering with and riding around with the National Guard. And he saw me just staring at my house, and he walked up to me, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, I know what you're thinking. And I thought to myself, no, baby, you don't know what I'm thinking. And he said, you don't even know where to start. And I said, that's exactly it. He goes, pick a corner, start there, everything will fall into place. And I feel like he was that first spark that kind of got me going. And then we did start cleaning. And a church group showed up with their van, and they said, do you need help? And we were like, yeah. And over the course of 2 days, my house went from, you know, a foot of mud from the levee and everything I own wet and soggy, dragged out to the curb, sheetrock stripped down, and it went from a house that looked abandoned and destroyed to a house ready to rebuild. And I looked at them, because at that time I was like, how do I thank them? And I said, I vow to pay this forward and to to do whatever I can to show the kindness that you showed me to someone else. And there was a flood in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a few years after, and we had just gotten home and we were, back moved into our house watching the news, and there's a flood in Cedar Rapids and we see it on TV, and I look at my husband and I went, maybe we should go help them. Like any good husband, he looked at me and he said, sounds good, figure it out. So we did. And we took a group of New Orleanians, and then we found 200 volunteers on the internet randomly and set up in Cedar Rapids trying to teach people what we learned the hard way in New Orleans and serving meals in a KC hall. And I thought, this is my calling. This is an opportunity to kind of share love, to share food, and to make people happy.
Well, that's awesome. So what other disasters have you been to besides at Cedar Rapids? Any one recently, past year or so?
I would say the biggest one was the first biggest one was the 2016 flood here in Louisiana. And we over 20 days or 19 days, we did over 100,000 meals that went out into the community. And I learned that I was more efficient, honestly, running Command Central than actually just cooking, because there are so many talented cooks that want to give back. And we're fortunate here in Louisiana, if people like to cook, right? And we're good at it. And we're going to tell you we're good at it, too. And so I was able to recruit so many great cooks that I started running Command Central and went from 100 meals here, 50 meals there, to during Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Ida and Hurricane Ian in Florida, 2018 wheelers and unloading supplies. And in that process, I started doing some international work. I worked Afghanistan, Ukraine, the Bahamas, and also preparedness, because that's something I think communities that haven't faced disaster, they don't think about it till it's too late. And so Hurricane Fiona hit in Nova Scotia, Canada, and I got a phone call, and they said, can you help us with some of this preparedness? Because we realized we were caught off guard. And I think the next phase of my calling is kind of helping people prevent some of the chaos that we've seen in our lives here in South Louisiana.
That's amazing, because I know we get it, because we went through that with Katrina. And like you said, when I returned to my flooded home in Slidell, the first thing I said to myself was, where do I start? So, and then during that time, when you had a meal brought to you by somebody else or food prepared for you, you appreciate that. So I know what that means to you when you go somewhere else, and I know that they appreciate that so much, because we get it. And it just obviously shows that you do too. So that's amazing. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your cooking classes. I think that's awesome. I think that would be fun, because you're a fun person. So I think getting a class from you would be awesome.
So I started Langlois. We're in our 12th year now. And just kind of like my show here at WRBH, I think maybe it's Amy has a short attention span. I have changed our model multiple times, because I like to listen to what people want, right? And I want to give them that. And we started off as doing hands-on cooking classes and had an open concept restaurant. And then we started to realize that sometimes people stressed out. They didn't want to be required to cook the food that they ate or that others ate. So now I like to do these classes. We call them actually live cooking shows. And I do them for corporate groups or groups out of town. Sometimes I'll go to people's homes and do it. And, we're cooking, we're talking, we're telling stories. You feel like you're at a dinner party with a local New Orleanian, but you know the food's going to be okay, because either I will execute it for you, or even better, I work with like Arno's and Dickie Brennan's, and they cook food. And what we cook in our class, we actually donate to the community fridges or Son of a Saint or one of the local charities here in town. So it kind of gives everybody an opportunity to give back. But for me, food is fun. Cooking food should be fun. It's food senses your fear. So if you go into cooking something and you're nervous or afraid, that food's not going to taste good. If you are sad, that food's not going to taste good, right? You need to go in, approach it with enthusiasm and almost, total disregard for rules if you have to, if you think that the rules are what's holding you back, and just go in and enjoy the process. And, you know, I tell people, even if it still isn't good, you've thrown away money on entertainment, on a good time, on an experience that brought you and your family together. So maybe you order a pizza that night. It's okay. You had a moment and an experience. And that, to me, is what teaching people about cooking is all about, is creating that experience where they start to get the confidence that, I can go home and I can cook this, and I can throw a dinner party, and I can invite friends. I just tell people, if you were going to use one of my recipes, and I had a lady from Arizona do this, she was so motivated to have a party, she texted all of her friends and said, okay, tomorrow night, everybody's coming to my house. Well, she flew home tomorrow night, that morning, okay? And she planned to have a dinner party. And then she texted me frantically Facebook messaged me. Oh my God, I've never cooked this before. What am I going to do? Now, I was able to coach her through it. But I say, I'm not always, tied to my computer where I can coach you in the moment. So try the recipe first before you have company over.
How can someone get involved in taking one of your classes? Where do they go? How do they reach out to you?
Sure. LangwaNola.com, LANG, like Lang Lois, LANGLOISNOLA.com. And we're really focusing on your corporate group. So it's a great opportunity for your a local company that wants to do a team building. We even come into your office and we'll do Iron Chef cooking competitions. And so I bring all the equipment, mystery baskets of ingredients. We even bring art supplies and musical instruments because not everybody wants to cook. So when they make that perfect dish, they also have to present it to the judge. And part of that judging is on their presentation. So people can, they can draw, they can paint, they can sing. So we've had songs written about the dish, and it gives everybody an opportunity to get involved and cook together. And someone, of course, will reign supreme and win.
Is there a minimum number that you would do it for?
I would say usually we recommend a minimum of, for an Iron Chef, you probably want at least 14 people.
Okay.
So you have two teams. But I've done them all the way up to 100 people. We did it for a group of teachers, and there were 100 of them. And each team, we partner with one of our chefs, so they have a coach through the whole process.
Awesome. Amongst the other things, I'm going down the whole list of all the things you do.
I'm all over the place, Carl.
I know. Your speaking engagements, I would imagine that just hearing you and your show, that you're probably a big draw for speaking engagements, that people are going to get a lot out of what you talk about.
You know, part of what I think has become my calling and my mission is that I am a teacher at heart. And I come from a long line of teachers. My mom was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. My sisters are teachers. And I used to always say, I'm not going to grow up and be a teacher. I'm going to do something else. And I think that teaching and telling, especially with stories, it's kind of in my core, and I couldn't deny it anymore. And I want people to realize that they can be the spark that can change the world. Just like that fireman who put his hand on my shoulder and said, just pick a corner. He was that first spark that motivated me. Mm-hmm. And if we can be that spark for someone else, or if someone's that spark for us, imagine what we can accomplish in this world. And that's what I talk about. And I talk a little bit about management and business and those kinds of things. But really understanding that if we know who we are and what we can accomplish, the sky's the limit.
I can get that impression just now. Just by listening to you, your passion comes through your voice and what you talk about, you know, just now and in every one of your shows. So it is definitely apparent that you're definitely a motivational person. You can motivate people to do something, even get behind the stove and in the kitchen. I want to also ask you about your travels. You go to different places, and I imagine you try all kinds of foods and stuff that you've never tried. Would you go home and try and duplicate and make that as well?
Absolutely. I love to travel. I joke that if you call me and say, do you want to, and before you finish saying the word go, I'm like, my bags are packed. Where do we want to go? Where are we going? What are we doing? But when I travel, again, you can connect to a community and a culture through their food and also through their hair salons. Just another fun fact. If you go to a barbershop, I went to a barbershop in Sicily and ended up milling my own flour with a gentleman and baking in a bakery because people everywhere in the world will tell you, I got a guy, right? And so when you travel, find somewhere or you might be able to find that person that can point you in the right direction, whether it's buying groceries or getting a local experience. And for me, just going to a market or a grocery store, I will buy things even if I can't read the label and just take it home and figure it out.
So your favorite country, maybe food-wise?
You know, goodness, that's a great question. I would say where I would like to travel, you know, in case anybody wants to take me on a trip with them, I would love to go to Vietnam. I love the parallels in, you know, topography and culture and food and weather. And I would love to dive deep into Vietnamese cuisine. I like going to France. And the reason I like going to France is because I speak the language enough to get around. That for me, communicating is critical. In Thailand, I couldn't really communicate. And so I couldn't ask all the questions I wanted. So I think if I do start traveling more, I might have to learn a few more languages.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very basic Spanish. I'm not very fluent, but that's it. I mean, so if I went somewhere else, I'm in trouble. So give your contact information again if people didn't catch it at the beginning of the show.
Sure. Chef Amy Sins, and you can follow me at Chef Amy Sins on Instagram and Facebook. You can also go to www.langoynola.com, LangoynolaNOLA.com and www.kpigroupnola.com.
In the time we have left, can people donate or how can they assist in charity work for you? Or what do you ask of the public, you know, for Amy Sins?
Sure. I do have a nonprofit. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called Fill the Needs, www.filltheneeds.org. And of course, I think like every nonprofit, including WRBH, we're always happy to take money. But I do tell people we all have a superpower. And if you have a superpower, whether it's running errands or making phone calls or smiling and hugging people, send us a message at Fill the Needs and we'll try to put your superpower to good use.
Awesome. What else would you like to talk about? I want to make sure that everything you want to tell people that you have a chance to tell them. Is there something else you want to mention?
I want to say you need to listen to me on WRBH radio here. My show does air on Wednesdays at 4 p.m., Thursdays at 5:30 a.m. if you're an early bird, and Saturday at 4 p.m. It's called Dinner Party. And, send me a message. Send me some feedback. What do you want to hear on the show? Is there anyone you want me to interview? Because this is as much, well, for me, selfishly, because I enjoy it, but this is about the listener of WRBH and what they want to hear, and I want to make sure that I'm adapting the show to fit exactly what they want.
That's great, because as a transplant from here, I know how much eating and talking I learned that from the very beginning, you know, eating down Friday nights and eating crabs or crawfish, you know, it's an experience. It's a duration of talking and enjoying themselves. You don't eat and run. So that's great that there's a show that does that so people can listen to. So I'm really impressed and I'm amazed that the passion that comes through your voice is just awesome. So I hope everybody gets a chance to listen. Now, real quick, tell me about the Crosswood Farms.
Sure. So we started out, Langua started out doing some farming here in New Orleans. We had some empty lots. And recently, my in-laws, they relocated to St. Francisville. That's where they retired. And my father-in-law has kind of taken over Crossroads Farms for us, and that he is growing all kinds of peppers and tomatoes and things like that, which I can and preserve, and we use as donations for charity events.
That's amazing, because local is best. Local-grown products, seafood, is the best. Amy, thank you so much for doing this. You're amazing, and I know your show is amazing, and I hope everybody gets to listen or reach out to you about taking one of your classes or helping with your Feel the Needs Foundation. So it's amazing. So thank you again for doing this.
Thank you.
You have been listening to WRBH Reading Radio for the Blind. This has been the Public Affairs Show. I'm Carla Redondo. Thank you for listening.